Thank you, Ken. Friends, remembering last week, we looked at the first half of 1 Corinthians 12 on your spiritual gifts, and we want to look at the second half of that chapter today. We've been thinking last week and this week about serving God and using our gifts and abilities for His glory, and we want to explore that. There is an outline in your notes, in your bulletin as well, you might like to follow. But firstly, let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, that it speaks into our lives today. And we thank you that your spirit takes this word and makes it real and alive for us. And we ask that we would understand it and be obedient to it and be changed by it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, let me say there's nothing like a new mission initiative to cement the truth that every member of the body can play a part in God's work. Now, at the Riverwood Festival in October, we had, thinking about the number of people involved, we had young and old from a variety of cultural backgrounds partnered together to promote Christ. Some greeted people as they arrived, some gave out information, others served tea and coffee and biscuits, others shared Christ with people who wanted to know more, others handed out New Testaments or gospel tracts, others painted faces. Others talked to the parents who were hanging around while the faces were being painted. Some served with our craft activities. Some set up the venues. Some packed up the venue. Some took people's phone numbers for follow-up, and we've had some follow-up following that event. Others took photographs so we could have copies of what happened, and you'll find one of the photographs on the front page of the Inform there. And one body, different gifts, serving God, and serving together to the glory of God. And we can represent that in most of our ministries in the church. So a whole bunch of people coming together playing a part. I think one of the advantages of small churches is this. If you've got 50 people in your church, you can see the body in one go. We do one little initiative, you're all together. So the people we had at Riverwood Festival, 50 to 60 people, that's the size of most Baptist churches. So it's easy to get to know everyone and partner together, and you feel like we're together. When you're in a congregation spread over three congregations, up to 900 to 1,000 different people who come, it's much harder at times to feel like we are one body working together. We've got that little body and that little body and that little body and that little body. But I want you to remember that we are one body partnering together, and in a larger church, you have to sort of do things a little bit differently to try and mobilize as many people as possible to serve Christ. But we remember that we're one body. Craig Blomberg writes, about 1 Corinthians 12. He says, 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 26 makes clear that body parts are interdependent, not independent of each other. The New Testament recognizes no individual or lone ranger Christians who are not attached to some local Christian fellowship. In societies where individualism is valued above corporate responsibility, the importance of the metaphor of Christ's church as a body looms large. And we remember today that we are Christ's body, we are one body, and we all have an important part to play. The first thing he tells us in this passage is that we are baptized in one spirit into one body. Let me read to you verses 12 to 13. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit, well, I'm going to suggest to you, in one spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we're all given the one spirit to drink. Keep in mind verse 12, it's just followed verse 11. Verse 11 said, all these are the work of the one and the same spirit, and he gives them to each just as he determines. So God gives out spiritual gifts. You can't say, I want this gift, I want that gift. God gives them out. And then there's a link word, it's the word for. So from verse 11 to verse 12, it's not in your NIV there. It says, he gives it to each one just as he determines, for the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. So the Spirit gives them out, for we are a body. And it says, so it is with Christ. We think it probably is a shortened way of saying the body of Christ. So it is with the body of Christ. Verse 27 describes us as the body of Christ. We say, what makes us one? What makes you and me one rather than me and the guy at the local tennis club won. Or you are the person at the local golf club won. Or two people in your work environment won. What gives us our unique oneness as the body of Christ? And Paul says here, what does that is the common experience of the Holy Spirit. The common experience of the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit, for example, chapter 2, is what distinguishes the believer from the non-believer. Galatians 3 says the Spirit marks the beginning of the Christian life. Romans 8 says the Spirit above all else is what makes a person a child of God. And therefore here he says, for we were baptized by or in one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Paul's focus is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's already been talking about spiritual gifts. He says what makes us one is that we are baptized in the one Spirit. The Bible says Jesus baptizes with the Spirit. So I think it's better to say in the one Spirit than by the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't baptize. Jesus baptizes us with the Spirit. So a better translation is in one Spirit, into one body, we're given the one Spirit to drink. So if you're a Christian today, and I'm a Christian today, then we are one body because we have received the one Spirit. So therefore there ought not to be divisions or fights or disillusionment with each other, but we ought to function as one body. You see, and we're going to come to that a little bit more in the whole body. You know, I say to people, my hand may not like my foot, but it shouldn't attack my foot. You know, I mean, you ever seen people hit each other, hit themselves? What's that Liar Liar movie? Did anyone see that one? That Jim Carrey bloke? And he needed to bash himself. He went into a toilet and he wanted to get out of a court case. So he started attacking himself, hitting himself on the wall. It's not what your body's meant to do, is my point. I'm not meant to punch myself out if I don't like something about me. You know, I don't like the way my face looks. I'm stuck with it. Don't hurt it. You know, I don't run as fast. It's not like that's it. I don't like my legs. I'm going to cut them off. The body's meant to function well together, and the Bible says because we have the Spirit, we are one body, we're called to function as one unit. It also, it says here, it obliterates the distinction between Jews and Greeks, slave and free. So in Christ, it doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your cultural background, your socioeconomic status, doesn't matter how smart you are or how not so smart you are, how pretty you are or not so pretty. Old and young, it really doesn't matter. There's no distinction between Jews and Greeks any longer, between slave and free. We are one body. Different social classes, different cultural backgrounds, different levels of education, different levels of wealth, all part of the same body of Christ. And you see, churches, and like our church, may run a variety of church service styles and ministries to better reach out to people and meet the needs of those who attend. And churches are doing all types of style to try and reach people and make it meaningful in this day and age. But we must always see ourselves as one body working together. Maybe in three or four different services, maybe in a multiplicity of ministries, but we are one body heading towards the same direction. At that festival the other day, we had people from Egyptian background, Indonesian, Malaysian, Chinese, Anglo, Greek, all different cultures working together, no longer a distinction in the body of Christ. Marrieds and singles, all types of people. So how do we live rightly? In light of that truth, that we are one body, whether you like it or not, you look around you, brothers and sisters, look at your hands or your heads, or they're all here. That's the analogy. There's your brothers and sisters. How do we live rightly as that? Verse 14 says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. First thing, I think there's a word to those that feel inferior. Maybe you feel inferior this morning compared to other people's giftings, other people's abilities. There may be some who are feeling a little bit depressed, feeling that they are unneeded or unimportant in the church. They may even resent the fact that others are more gifted than them. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Paul says we need one another. You don't cease to be part of the body because you're different. One body, we all need each other. And verse 17 to 20 says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Can you picture for a moment a giant eyeball? It's scary, really. Giant eyeball, there it is. Paul says, if that's it for the body, it's almost grotesque, isn't it? He said, one thing ought not to dominate. We have a variety of parts in the body that together make us a body. Someone said, oh, one single massive toenail. That's even more grotesque. But in terms of the body, they all have a function. You think, I don't want to be that toenail. I want to be the hand or the nose or something else. But it would be silly to say, well, we all want to be the eye. We're all going to be the preachers. We're all going to be the evangelists. Variety of gifts, variety of abilities within the body of Christ. Verse 18, for in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Again, God is sovereign in working our parts together. Then there's a word to those that feel superior, maybe. I think he looks to the other side of the coin, where there may be some, and there were some in the Corinthian church, who focused on the gifts of prophecy and on speaking in tongues, who elevated themselves to a level above the others. And therefore, Paul is writing to address that issue, to say, no, we all have different gifts. Don't elevate yourself, and maybe a word now for them. Well, those who may say to others, well, I don't need you. Our church will continue without you. Or our home group will continue without you. We don't need you in here. Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Friends, we must never say that to the church. We must never project an image, even something we don't say, but which we project an image that, well, I'm more important than you because I fulfill this function and you simply fulfill this function. The Bible says we are a body, variety of gifts and abilities to be used for God's honor. Friends, in the 1980s, I used to attend sometimes charismatic and Pentecostal churches. And back then, speaking in tongues was a big issue. And they've gone through stages over the years in the charismatic movement. Things come and things go. But I remember being approached after some services by some young adults, approached a whole bunch of guys and myself on the way out. And we were surprised because one of the first questions they asked us back then was, do you guys speak in tongues? It's not normally the question you get asked after the end of a church service. We're just chatting to the people, about to walk out. We had a nice time hearing the message and enjoying the music and drawing closer to God. He said, do you guys speak in tongues? And it was almost like we felt it, that if you don't, you're a lower class citizen. And we said, no, we don't. We speak Greek, but I don't think that's what you're thinking about. I said, come on, gosh, just hang around with us. We can get you to that level. Now, if you have the gift of tongues, God bless you. That's one of the gifts that God gives to people. But then to put the impression on some guys in their 20s that if you don't have this, then you're on a lower level, we need to be careful on any of the gifts. I want to project an image that whether it's tongues or speaking or singing or whatever it happens to be, that or teaching, that somehow that is that makes someone else less important. It goes on to say, verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. And there's a fable told by Menenius Agrippa, used in the plebs revolt in Rome, illustrates this principle. And this is how the fable went. It said, the stomach, picture this, the stomach appeared to the other members of the body to be doing nothing but enjoying the food they put into it. That stomach, just give it all and has fun in there. So they agreed, the other parts of the body, to starve the stomach. We'll fix that stomach up, just sitting there, just enjoying the things we put into it. Only to find out that when they starved the stomach, they weakened themselves. Verse 23b, the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat or we clothe with special honor. The tree can be the word clothe with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Probably a reference to our sexual organs here and how we clothe ourselves and we treat with modesty. Certain parts we clothe. And then Paul applies this to the church and says, God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Friends, it was March 1981. The United States president at that stage, Ronald Reagan, was shot by John Hinckley Jr., was hospitalized for a few weeks. Reagan was the nation's chief executive. His hospitalization, though, had little impact on the nation's activity. The government continued. The leader, the president, gets taken out by a bullet, and life goes on as normal. So imagine for a moment, though, that the garbage collectors in the United States went on strike at the same time. They did so in Philadelphia. When they did so in Philadelphia, not only was there a literal mess, the pile of decaying trash quickly became a health hazard. A three-week nationwide strike paralyzed the country. The president gets taken out and nothing changes. The garbage collectors get taken out and the nation collapses. Who's more important to the nation? Again, you may not want to be described as the garbage collector. But the point Paul is making in this passage is that God gives a variety of gifts. They all come together to fulfill tasks. So this morning I came in, we had a group using the facility yesterday, and it was a little bit messy in the foyer. So 20 minutes to go, so I know where the cleaners' cupboard is. Just thought I'd let you know if you didn't think I knew anything about cleaning. I found the key, we took out the vacuum cleaner, and I started to vacuum. I thought for a moment, what will people think? The senior pastor's vacuuming as people are walking into church. And I thought, well, that's what senior pastors do. That's what Christians do. There might be a primary ministry, what I'm called to do, but I say to people, your secondary ministry is wherever you're needed. It might be a primary ministry, but secondary, you're just wherever you're needed. You're called to be a servant. Thankfully, someone, another gracious man took the vacuum cleaner off me, and so I'm not that sweaty this morning as I speak to you. And someone completed that role as people were coming. You see, we all have a role to play. And so as I asked the question last week, I asked you this week, where will you serve Christ in the new year? If all of us have a role to play, no one is insignificant. Where will you serve? One of the acrostics we use to help people think through where to serve is the acrostic SHAPE. Firstly, think through your spiritual gifts. We've been talking about that. What are your spiritual gifts? You need to ask those questions. Secondly, what's your heart or your passion? And I called it last week your holy discontent. What's the thing you really want to see change or become different? Think something that really motivates you. Someone, it may be the poor. Someone else, it may be leading teenagers to Christ. Others, it may be working in nursing homes. And others, it could be something else. What is it that you have a heart for, a passion for? Thirdly, what are your natural abilities? It may not be a spiritual gift, but all of the abilities God has given you can be used in some way. What are your natural abilities? What's your personality like? What's your temperament? What type of ministries can you cope in? And what are your experiences in life? What have you been through that can be used to serve others? Have you come from a difficult home background? You'll understand what it's like for others. Have you been through a divorce? You may then understand what it's like for others to go through a divorce. Have you had sick kids? You may be able to support and get alongside others with sick kids. Your experiences can be used by God to bring comfort to others. Have you been persecuted by your family when you came to Christ? Well, there'll be other people who'll be persecuted. Why don't you get alongside those people? So we ask people to think through what's their shape, their spiritual gifts, their passion, their abilities, their personality and their experience. They think through where you could serve. And early next year in February, we'll do another seminar that we do, Discovering Your Shape for Ministry. But I want to remind you that there is joy in ministry. Friends, I have joy in ministry regularly. Sometimes I get tired, I get a bit bored. Maybe you too, especially this time of year. You think, oh, it's a bit flat at the moment. God, just fill me with your joy, fill me with your passion. I'm just feeling a bit flat at the moment, nothing's happening. God, force me to go for a walk and release those endorphins a little bit and get the body working. Help me to pray more, help me to focus on you. God, give me an opportunity to share Christ with someone just to motivate me a little bit more. We'll go through that, but there is something about joy in ministry. You know, Evelyn Aguilera and her daughter Amelia went to Outback Patrol last week. And it was a last-minute invitation. Someone had pulled out, and she was saying at the ladies' group the other day, she doesn't like flying. She was on one of those little aeroplanes into the outback of Australia. I've been on one of those little planes. I like big Qantas planes. They go up and down, and wind comes and blows them around the place, and your stomach turns over, and it churns. And it took me 5 hours to recover once, and I had to speak that night. But there they were, went out. And she said, just to see these kids ready to hear God's word, hungry, because they don't normally hear about Jesus. She came back inspired and filled with joy in what God did during that week. But you see, even in that trip, friends, we needed the gifts of engineers. We needed someone who could fly an aeroplane. We needed people who could wrap gifts, and some of you wrapped Christmas gifts, and they distributed them to the schools and to the kids in the outback. Someone had to buy the gifts, put them in a little box and wrap them up and make them look pretty. Someone had to speak there. Someone had to drive them then to the school. Variety of gifts coming together. At the end of it all, you come back and say, oh, praise God for that. And friends, next Sunday night after our carols event, in the midst of that, I believe that you will experience joy in ministry as you step out to serve, to be part of a team of 100 people setting up, putting down, making sausages, greeting the customers, selling drinks, doing whatever you're going to do. And you go and you finish and you're tired. People go home. They've heard about Jesus. They've sung about Jesus. And you think, we have done this in the middle of Pecos in a public school. We got permission to do that. And you go home tired and exhausted, praising God. That's what you do. And you may want to sleep the next day or two to recover, depending on how much you've had to do, especially the guys who set up the stages. They need a week off after that. But there is joy in ministry. And next Sunday morning, those kids' church leaders who've been working with these kids all year and teaching them about Jesus, and sometimes it's tough to get here early in the morning to prepare and be ready. They're going to be up here with their kids. They're going to be telling us about the story about Christmas. You know, I tell you, those leaders, in the midst of all the hard work they put, there's going to be a joy in their ministry. See those little kids up here, your kids and my kids, declaring the good news of Christmas. There is joy in ministry. You know, I was just flicking through. I had a whole bunch of other stories that I skipped them. I just picked up our Infor magazine. Someone says, I don't know what I ought to do. And I just flicked through. She's all about freedom. We're going to run all these study groups next year. We want more people in study groups to learn about Jesus' ministry. The Riverwood Festival we'll do again next year. We may do another festival as well. We're talking about one of the stories about our increasing Chinese population in this area, up to about 20% in this region now. And one of our, Su Pik and Meng, are going to start up a Mandarin-speaking Bible study group, a new initiative in the new year. We've got Philip's article, Tight Lines, Pastoral Care Ministry. People who visit with the CVS program visit lonely people in nursing homes every 2 weeks and just be there, Christ's presence with people, someone to talk to. And the Gunnedah youth went on a mission trip. They're going again. And young adults, I just think the 18-24s and the liquids, and some of them go in and serve the poor in the city for 4 weeks. And not just young people, older folk as well go in there. Whole variety of programs for them. Kids at NBC, from kids clubs to kids church to scripture teaching at schools. Playtime ministry, and some number of you volunteer. You don't even have kids and you go and serve the kids there. Creche ministry, there's needing someone to look after our kids in creche. And there's ministry in mission work and mission awareness. The team went to Bali beginning of January, and another team went to India as a mission trip. We hope to have some more mission trips in the new year. Young families went away for a weekend and they run some outreach events. We need people to be part of the young families network. Flourish, We need a leader to drive women's ministry and a few women who can come up with some appropriate gospel events to reach women. Men's ministry can be part of that committee, and guys are running a variety of gospel events there. Pecos High School, the work happens there. We get some volunteers to go in to help. Community Radio 90.1, maybe you can put a program together. Maybe you can volunteer to help out the program. Ministry of Welcome, welcomers and ushers who are here. Discovering Discipleship and evangelism courses. If you want to be part of that, partnering with me and with some others. Primetime Ministry, Ladies Day Fellowship, Creative Craft, the Soul Group, be a part of. And some of those people don't even come to our church, and some of those people in the Soul Group aren't even Christians yet. And you may get alongside them and share Christ with them as well. Love in a Box, Operation Christmas Child, our home groups, and First Place for Health, a program to help women and men discover health in every area of their lives. Book Nook, helping out selling books, and food hampers. Oh, Jeanette Ward, she's doing a fabulous job, and she's been putting about 40 or 50 hampers together for Christmas. They're all over the place at this stage. People are coming in every day saying, "Do you have some Christmas hampers for us?" And we've got 40, 50 families in the church and outside of the church. And people, others go and get that from food bank and drive out this. Others order it from there, and others bring it in here. And everything counts. Others go and pick up the bread from the Loafers Ministry, from Baker's Delight, and bring it in and package it. And you give it some money. That money we raise goes to our welfare ministry to buy food for the needy in our community. Others cook meals for people who are unwell. You want me to keep going? I've come to the end of the magazine. And then we rejoice, and the baby's been born, and 50th wedding anniversary is one body. Here we are in Christ. I mean, that doesn't include even all the things we have going already, nor the new things we hope to get going. You're gifted, I'm gifted, we are part of one body, and God calls us to step out and serve Him. Thinking about serving somewhere? If you're not serving, you think you'd like to do something, why don't you put on a care card? Say, "I'm thinking about that, where can I serve?" May God bless us and His name as we serve Him in the new year. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for bringing us together as one body where everyone counts, every gift, every ability, every passion you have brought together to bring glory and honor to you. Lord, may we be a church that functions together in unity and in love to bring glory and honor to your name. Father, may we have the leaders we need in a whole variety of areas to be effective for you. Lord, help us to be a church that not only looks after itself, but a church that reaches out into the community in a multiplicity of ways to introduce others to Christ. And we pray, God, that as we function together, you would be glorified and honored. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.